likely, you know, a week, 10 days behind normal, certainly quite a bit behind where we would like to be. To be not started yet is certainly concerning. You know, some of the later seeded crops we know that are typically yielding less. I don't think there's any farmers that have given up on seeding yet, but there's likely going to be a significant number of acres that are going to go unseeded this year. And it takes a tractor
another round. Some thoughts there from Bill Probilski, the president of APAS. And, you know, there does get to be a point where does it get too late in the season? Is the field just not going to work to get out there? Is it going to be dry enough to get out there and get the seeding done? Gosh, it is literally, again, one of those situations where you have parts of the province concerned about not enough moisture in the south, particularly the southwest. Then you've got parts of the province, you certainly go up around the Melfort-Tisdale area, where they are still a ways away from getting into the field. And I know Saskatchewan's Minister of Agriculture, Dave Merritt, has been putting on the miles. He's been touring and visiting different communities in the province to try and get a sense of where things are at with spring seeding, which, of course, it's a huge part of ultimately the economy for our province. Spring seeding yields whatever comes harvest time in the fall. And I've talked to a number of farmers that are already saying, we're already praying for no frost when we get to fall because we're getting in seeding that much later. And I'm happy to say this morning we have connected with Saskatchewan's Minister of Agriculture, Dave Merritt, on the road, I understand, to Vibank this morning. Is that right, Minister?
Yes, I am, Evan. Yeah, going to speak to some grade 11 and 12 kids.
Good stuff. Well, we were chatting a bit off air. You have been doing kind of a cross-Canada tour. Talk a little bit about where you've gone, what you've seen over the last couple of weeks.
Well, we traveled that whole northeast, Melfort, Tisdale, the lakes. Then we were over to Shelbrook, PA, Torch River, Garden River, all those municipalities that we've seen significant damage. And talking to the council and also talking to farmers in the area, too. And you're right, Evan, in your opening comments, there's lots of water up there. It's still flowing. But probably the thing that I saw that I've never seen before is the damage done from the water when it all let go there a few weeks ago. And seeing some of that and how the municipalities are trying to deal with opening, you know, some of their major grid roads. So when and if the farmers ever do hit the field, and I know they will, it's just how they can accommodate to make sure that they can get to their land.
It's a challenge. And, you know, I was talking with a buddy of mine who farms up around just north of Melfort the other day, who said, you know, I mean, you'll get in the field, but the question is, will you have the time on the back end to reap the reward during harvest? And that, you know, I don't want to say we're pushing up against the deadline, but it's getting closer.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, you look in the north on the crop insurance side, especially for canola and cereals, June 9th is the deadline on that side of it. So, you know, we're just under three weeks away from that. So it does become concerning on that side of it as well. So, you know, the challenges around that. But I talked to some farmers and you know, they're obviously hopeful and optimistic. They're going to get in the field. There is going to be some land that won't get seeded just because of the water that's on it, especially when you get in some of those areas where there's a lot of potholes and they're full. And talked to a farmer the other day, and he went out and sprayed a quarter section. He couldn't even spray it all with a high clearance sprayer, so he knowing full well he's not going to be able to seed it all either.
Yeah, and yet we see some huge regional differences in the province. Yep. Minister, I was talking about the south again. Even though we did see some snow there, I talked with a farmer who's down in the Maple Creek area who said, you know, maybe we saw some moisture, but the problem is it might have gone into the topsoil, but didn't go down much further. And so they're already talking about and worried about moisture and dryness.
Yeah, they are, you know, and a lot of that's in my constituency. And you get south and west of Assiniboia in that area, they've seen some moisture. But, yeah, they've gone through so many years of drought that they need quite a bit more. I mean, they're optimistic that there's moisture going in for the crop going into the ground. Obviously, it's the long-term effect that you have. And I said it before, we don't lose a crop in April or May. It's when we get into July that we can have some challenges around that. So You're right, the Southwest is a lot more advanced than, you know, the Northeast and North Central part of the province, for sure.
You've been out driving around. Have you seen a lot of farmland for sale? Land sales has been a topic we've covered on the show a number of times.
Yeah. No, usually not at this time. You don't see a whole lot, Evan. I mean, the folks that are doing transactions are probably after the harvest season, they'll make the decision if they're going to sell or rent their land out or whatever the case may be. But that's usually when those decisions are made. And even rightfully so, for the people that are looking to buy it, they usually have to have, you know, quite a few months ahead of time so they can plan for seeding and operational costs as well.
This has become a topic of conversation in the last month when we learned Minette Farms applying for creditor protection. Is there anything from, like, again, I'm not looking for specifics on the Minette situation, but Minister Merritt, is this a conversation you have with your colleagues in cabinet in the ledge about the volatility of farming today? Are there any lessons learned from what we're watching?
I probably learned a lot more talking to farmers themselves, Evan, and
yeah.
I've had that discussion with them, and obviously they're concerned. Production costs are up significantly. You know, we're hearing over 30% higher. And then, of course, the commodity prices have dropped. So now you're seeing a big variance and a big difference. And, I talked to some farmers that had bought their fertilizer and fuel last fall, and yet, I've heard others where they're having challenges of buying fertilizer and fuel now. So, it's obviously a concerning for us. I have seen, the markets trend to move up a little bit for fall deliveries and hopefully that continues in that trend. It'll all depend obviously on the global situation on where, feedstocks are for around the world. And it's the volatility of the industry. As farmers have always taken every year, we put the crop in the ground, pray for rain, and pray for the markets to move up so we can obviously make a little bit of money so we can do it again next year.
Saskatchewan's Minister of Agriculture, Dave Merritt, is my guest. If I'm not mistaken, you just met with the federal ag minister, correct?
Yes, I did. I had a good meeting with Minister McDonald yesterday for about an hour. He was out here for a couple of days. He met with a lot of the stakeholder groups yesterday and the day before as well, and I thanked him for reaching out to those organizations and having a discussion about the whole ag industry and some of the challenges around that. And I'll have an FPT meeting in July. I want to discuss some of the concerns we have that we'd like to talk to him about, and we obviously raised the next policy framework, the whole business risk management strategy around that, and other challenges we're having with the Pest Management Regulatory Agency. It's got a new acronym now, but everybody knows it as that, and even some of the challenges around CFIA as well. So it was a good discussion for an hour-long meeting we had, and he was here also for the opening of the Cargill facility and was there yesterday morning as well.
Right, that's officially open. Can you talk about the importance that and hopefully other facilities like it will bring to the province, Minister?
Yeah, that's one thing we've really tried to do from the government side is put some incentives and mechanisms in place to attract the investment for the value-added processing. And, I mean, Cargill could have built that plant anywhere in Western Canada. They chose Saskatchewan. They chose the Regina area for a reason. The stability in the industry here. They also like the programs that we had in place. When I was talking to both Jeff and Jennifer yesterday, I mean, that was a big reason for their decision to build it here. But what it really means to the farmers in the area is obviously they'll get a premium for their canola, hauling it directly to a fresh plant. And that's exactly what we're trying to do is improve the bottom line for the farmers and give them another opportunity, another place to do business. And when you have competition, it drives up the price.
Can you talk about, you mentioned they like the programs we have in place. Can you just highlight a couple of those?
Well, obviously the value-added tax credit that we have and also the manufacturing tax credit that we have in place, those are the two big ones. And I heard that directly from the executive of Cargill, that was probably the big reason why they did it is those mechanisms. And, I mean, you're going to have 100 good-paying jobs out there, and the return to the farmers is significant. I mean, the premium on hauling to a crush is anywhere from 50 cents to a dollar more. It really helps to the bottom line to the farmers for sure.
Dave Merritt is our guest, Minister of Agriculture. Before I let you go, later on the show today, just after 11:30, we're doing a short chat about things that you found in the field, because it seems like this is the time of year where on Facebook you will see inevitably a variety of weird things. Now the snow has melted. People are getting in the field to do their seeding. Even if it's in pasture land, you can find the weirdest things. You've got an ag background. Have you got a story?
I do, and I don't know how I would define it as. It was, it's obviously a very, very old rock, and I'm sure the natives way back in the day used them for almost like a hammer, because it had a groove around a part of it where they had obviously a leather strap around it or tied to it, and they used it for pounding. And it was a fair size, Evan. I probably weighed a couple pounds, so... had that in the shop for decades, and I think my brother still has it, but that's probably the one that, when you mentioned that earlier this morning, that was probably the first thing. Obviously, everybody's found a lot of things hooked around a shank or on the drill or the cultivator or something, or dug, rooted it up, but there's been a lot of old harnesses from horses and things like that.
Sure.
That you'll find. You know,
that's right.
There's all kinds of things. Yep.
My dad used to say it's the best way to find his vice grips from the year before, because they fell out of the toolbox or something. He'd dig them up the next year. But
yeah,
well,
I'm still looking for a lot of 916 wrenches.
We'll be having that conversation later in the show. Minister Merritt, say hi to the crew in ViBank, and thanks for the check-in today.
Thank you so much, Evan. You take care. Have a good week.
Saskatchewan's Minister of Agriculture, Dave Merritt. Okay. Let's take a break. We got lots going on we could talk about. We could go back to the sale of ISC, if that's something you're interested in talking about. I saw a text already on the line saying, keep it going. I think we should be selling all of the Crown corporations. I'm guessing that's not the predominant thought out there, but there are some that say this should be something that we should be leaning into. So maybe you've got thoughts on that. We can talk about, is it worth it? $82 million a game for Canada host some of the FIFA World Cup games. This seems crazy to me, the amount of money we're spending on soccer. Now, yeah, okay, clearly I'm not a soccer guy, so you can attack me for that. Would I feel different if it was hockey? I don't think you'd be spending $82 million a game if it was hockey. This report from the Parliamentary Budget Officer seems crazy to me, how much this is costing. Do you agree? And what's going on in Alberta? Daniel Smith is making an address to the province tonight. It's called a primetime address. It's happening just before 7 o'clock tonight. But she's getting heavy pressure from people right within the UCP party, her party, suggesting that this could be a make or break moment for her as a leader in the province. So whatever you want to chat about, the lines are officially open for you now here on 650 CKOM 980 CJME.